Don't worry, I'm not going to give you a long list of sponsorships and things that you need to buy. Instead, I'm just going to explain. What we do is we teach baking as lifestyle medicine. This is an evidence-based approach to baking, eating, and sharing bread that improves the gut microbiome and mental health. So let's just get straight into this podcast.
I'm laughing at the olive oil, and I remembered something about the lockdown and Brexit, and I had such a panic because I've only cooked and eaten olive oil and only olive oil since I was about 18 years old. Nothing, no other oil goes past my lips. And I was so panicked. I've actually probably got about maybe 3 years worth of supply of olive oil. I've got stashes of it down the back here. I'm so frightened of running out of olive oil. Libiana, if you're listening, you can come
get the loo paper. Olive oil. Anytime.
It was just why I'm bursting out laughing as you said olive oil, because I'm thinking, oh, I've probably doubled the Italian GDP of olive oil here.
So, Vanessa, can you tell me, just before we get into questions, how would you, as a sort of expert in it, how would you advise somebody who's not actually making the sourdough themselves or making bread themselves, you can probably see which end of the supermarket shelf it will be, but what should they be looking for?
Oh, so one of my fascinations and one of the things that, I mean, you know, from a couple of years ago, I attached one of these Freestyle Libras to my arm. Yeah. It was actually, to be fair, it was Tim Spector who was doing it. He was eating my sourdough and he was texting and doing Instagram going, I'm eating Vanessa's bread and my blood sugars are fine. And he was really excited about this. And I was like, "Ooh, that's a good idea." So I stuck one of these things on my arm and started kind of like experimenting on myself. Nothing like you eating your tapeworm in, where was this?
It was a series on parasites, yeah.
Yes, you were in Africa somewhere.
I was in Africa, yeah. Well, I went to Africa for the day, basically, to get some parasites, yeah.
So I'm not quite as brave as that, but for me, it was quite brave eating sliced white, you know? I probably had the same amount of trepidation. I was like... And of course, I was watching all the time what happened with blood sugars and what was happening. And to be fair, it's horrifying. Some of the breads were raising my blood sugars harder and faster than chocolate. Mm. Just incredible. And I was pushing my recipes to see how and what I could do to create the longest and slowest sourdoughs. And one of the great things was I ended up with the trainer for the Olympic rowing team coming as one of my students, and he wanted to create some breads that slowed down the rate of the assimilation for the Olympic rowing team to give them an edge so that they wouldn't run out of food on these slightly longer, you know, various, it depends on what distance they go. It's very complex sports nutrition now. So I began to play around with different lengths of fermentation, and the bread that comes out absolutely top without is the easiest bread. Mm. And being so easy, it's actually, you know, it's made it into my 10-minute sourdough book that you've very kindly written the introduction for on the front. I'm very excited about. And it's actually a kind of chuck it all in bread where you incorporate seeds, which slow down, some fat, either olive oil or a little butter or something. Mm. Now this is very interesting, you see. Stone ground whole grain flour is much more slowly assimilated than roller milled. Mm. Whole grain flour because of the size of the particles.
Yeah.
So again, a stone ground flour. And then we put it in a tin and you just leave it on the side and you let it ferment. And if you really have a problem with blood sugars, you can then put it in the fridge and push it further so it really acidifies.
Do you also get the resistant starch? Yes. You really get it cool, don't you, there?
Yeah, so there's a combination of resistant starch, high level of fibre, acidification, which also slows it down. Then you've got the fat. If you've got, you know, pumpkin seeds in there, they're quite chunky and it's quite a filling bread. And you have to chew it. You can't just gollop it down, and it's absolutely delicious. And that, for me, I mean, my blood sugar's barely recognised that I'd eaten anything. It was just incredible, and it kept me full for a long time. And one of the people, Carl, who we filmed all the results, we're about to start releasing them on my pilot study, I did 10 people, and Carl lost so much weight, and I had several people who... It was all anecdotal, and I had students who would call me and say, I was pre-diabetic and I've changed nothing, but I'm not anymore, because they changed to eating, literally just changed one thing. And I was like, we need time. And we have an in-house GP who most of my people here will know, called Dr. Alex Davidson. She's just fantastic. She's just, she's so lovely. And she was like, oh, I'm trying this on my neighbour. So we've been trying it out on various people, and we're probably next year going to do a few more formal film studies here, where we will gather people around and test and do some filming on how the different breads work and how these really simple and effective and affordable ways of making bread, we can share that knowledge, because it appears to me that the drive behind so much of what is going on around the world appears to be financial, and it's not our financial gain. So I'm between the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry, we have to, you do it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There has to be a voice of persuasion, inspiration, and empowerment, giving someone something to do, which is what you do. I don't know if you recognise that, but I watch what you do. And whenever you come away from your programme, you're like, right, I've got to do these star jumps, or I've got to do this. And you're very empowering with what you do. And that's why I get kind of, I think I'm drawn to both of you, because I recognise how powerful what you do is to helping change people's lives. I'm hoping that people who are going to ask these questions, we're going to do these questions in a minute, they're going to feel the same, because you only need small changes to make a huge difference. But it's knowing what's real and what is just made up.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to find people who really are not predisposed to say something because they've got an ulterior motive. So I think that's really important. And bread, it's so down to earth.
Yeah.
You know, there's no hiding. It is flour, salt, and water.
And yet it is complex and varied, which is kind of what's interesting. And its impact on, as you say, what you were describing is the fact that you can just play with some of the variables and it can make a huge, huge difference to the rate at which it's digested, the rate at which blood sugars go up, they go down. I'm a big fan of self-experimentation, and that's the joy. A lot of the technology now is affordable, whether it is, you know, slapping a freestyle lever, which I've done on quite a few occasions. That's kind of one of the joys of living in the 21st century, in the 2020s.
I really hope you've enjoyed listening to this. If the idea of prescribing baking as lifestyle medicine as an evidence-based approach to your patients to help them improve their physical and mental health through the bread that they bake, eat and share every day appeals to you, then go to thesourdoughschool.com and learn how you can prescribe or teach this as part of your own practice. If you have just fallen in love with the whole concept and you just want to learn to do this for yourself and your family, you can self-prescribe at thesourdoughclub.com. I look forward to seeing you in some of our live sessions.